one word that I can describe that game, and that was wow.
I went to this game, I paid $8 a ticket, and I want my money back.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the final podcast of 2020 season. Thank God, turn the new year. Let's hope this year is a lot better than last year's bullshit. But listen, for week 17, no shortage of information to talk about, huh? I guess the hashtag fire Adam Gase, which you pioneered and you started all those weeks back, finally caught on, and someone finally listened to you because he got his walking papers before Black Monday.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was actually surprised that it took as long as it did. Now, I will say, if you time it out, and we are Northeast people, so we kind of know, the game ended at 4:30. He was fired at 7:30.
It was that night. I forgot. You're right.
So my guess is that they let him get on the plane. The plane landed. Chris Johnson met him on the tarmac and said, "You're done.
Take an Uber home.
You're a loser. Clean out your fucking office."
If only he said those words, right?
I don't think that he did. Obviously, I'm quite exaggerating. Joe Douglas was on the Michael Kay show today, and they interviewed him. And the impression that I get from his response to Michael Kay was that they were gonna fire him. Obviously, they were gonna fire him, but they wanted him to coach the last game of the year. You know, the Jets now obviously have a lot of important things that they need to figure out. And, you know, we'll go over it a little bit because obviously, you know, these are just kind of hypothetical situations. And then when we start the podcast up around draft time again, we'll figure it all out. But, you know, I think I agree with Joe Douglas. What he said today is the most important thing that the Jets need to do right now is find the right head coach. They need to find the head coach that can lead the team, that can work three sides of the ball, you know, special teams, defense, offense, not just a one course, which, by the way, this one particular course was awful in Adam Gase, where he said that he was an offensive guy. I mean, the offense was obviously terrible the last 2 years. They need to find somebody who's well-rounded, who can support the team, who the players will buy into his vision and philosophy. Obviously, they did not do that with Adam Gase. So, you know, where that leads, I don't know. They've already requested a whole bunch of interviews with college coaches and NFL coaches. You know, he certainly seemed open to the idea of a college coach. I don't know how excited a fan base is, like me personally. I don't know how excited we would be about that. You know, just because, you know, coming from the college game to the NFL game, that's a huge jump. The only person who I think that I would be excited about is Jim Harbaugh, only because he already made that leap and he was successful with the 49ers. The only challenge with that is that Jim Harbaugh is going to want his hands in the cookie jar. He's going to want his hands in every aspect of the game. You know, that was why he was fired from San Francisco, is that he wanted the autonomy to make the decisions on personnel, and that's just not going to work. And Christopher Johnson, and to his credit, when he came out yesterday, you know, this is Joe Douglas's time to shine now. You know, he's going to pick the head coach. Rumor has it is that the hierarchy structure is going to change. So the coach is going to report to the GM, and then the GM is going to report to the owner, which I think
that's how it's supposed to happen.
Right. Which is, we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, is a no brainer to me. If Jim Harbaugh is interested, how does that structure work? Because that's not going to fly with him. So, but the rumor that I read today on, I forgot what site I read, is that he's hesitating on doing anything with Michigan at the moment because he's actually intrigued with the Jets job.
All right. So I think
that would be pretty cool, but how does the cookie crumble with that? How does all that play out? You know, they have to make a decision with Sam. I mean, It's going to come down to money. I mean, because they're going to have to do something with this contract, right? And are you willing to pay him $12, $15, $25 million because you think that he's the guy? I mean, I don't know if he's done that, or if there's a coach that comes in and says, Sam's the guy, I can get him to where we need to be. You know, Tannehill was thrown out for garbage. Alex Smith was thrown out for garbage. You know, there's even Jared Goff to a certain extent. You know, these guys were all thrown out. And then when they got the right coach involved, they've excelled. They've led their teams to where they needed to go, right? So I'm not so much sold on getting rid of Sam. I mean, he's 23 years old. I mean, if the right coach comes along, can it help him? But you're sitting with the number two pick. I mean, if it were me, I would either trade the pick, and I said this last week, or I would go with Davante Adams. Not Davante Adams. He just won the Heisman tonight.
Devontae Smith.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Devontae Smith. That kid lit up Notre Dame last weekend.
Yeah.
Lit him up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw something on Bleacher Report earlier today that, and this could be a whole lot of nothing. This could just be, you know, normal speak, but it said Joe Douglas was noncommittal about Sam Darnold, saying we have a lot of decisions to make. And that's basically obvious, but
that's what he said today. I mean, you know,
They could have pulled that clip from that show.
Any GM, any good GM, and I think Joe Douglas has, you know, he only has one draft under his belt. This draft will kind of give the idea of where this team is going to go in the future. But he said all the right things today. I mean, they're not going to make a decision on Sam Darnold until they have a coach, which I 100% agree with. I mean, if this coach comes in and says, listen, I can fix this. I mean, do you believe in that mentality? And then hopefully you get more out of him. You get some more weapons. You solidify the offensive line. You get a defense that can do something. I mean, CJ Mosley will come back next year. Hopefully that'll help. Listen, there are 2-14 football team. Let's not fool ourselves. There's a lot of holes. They are not a good football team, but a lot of it was coaching, and we have to see how it goes. I would prefer an NFL experienced coach in some capacity. I'm not sold on the college thing unless it's Jim Harbaugh.
And you're a no on Urban Meyer, right?
Well, Urban Meyer, I mean, did you read the report?
I'm just saying, you said before.
Well, Urban Meyer would fit well with Jacksonville, but he wants $12 to $14 million a year to coach. I mean, that's astronomical. That's more than Nick Saban makes. That's more than Jim Harbaugh makes in college. That would be more than any NFL coach has ever made, I think, in a year.
Well, that's also
that's more than Belichick makes.
Yeah. Well, that's also the intrigue of jumping from college to the pros is obviously, you know, it's going to be a huge bump in pay. So, I mean, not to mention the bigger challenge.
Let's not fool ourselves. Urban Meyer made plenty of money. He went from Utah to Florida to Ohio State and made all three of those teams winners. So, I mean, it's not like he's not a non-shabby coach.
Yeah, no, I'm just – any one of those guys, Urban Meyer, Harbaugh, Saban, if they're like, hey, I want to come coach your team, it's happening. Like, they don't even – it's like you go to the front of the line, right? If any one of those three guys said, I'm interested in being your coach, I mean, he's going to write the check.
But $12, $14 million a year, Phil?
That doesn't go against the cap, though.
Yeah, but even still, I mean, you've never been an NFL coach before. You have – it's different to go out there on the road and, you know, get these high school kids to buy into your system. It's another thing to get professional athletes to buy into your rhetoric. It's two separate things.
No, I know, but I find it very – go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was listening to someone today on the radio saying that, you know, when a college coach comes into the NFL, they kind of bring that little, I shouldn't say little, but they bring that college atmosphere with them, right? So it's a little more loosey-goosey. It's a little more like up to date with the times. It's not the old Tom Coughlin, this is my way or the highway. We're doing it the old school, you know, you do what I say kind of thing. Like it's a little more, you know, that because they're used to coaching these 17, 18-year-old kids. They know how to work with them. They know kind of how to, you know, they're up to date kind of, if that's the right way to put it. So it could just be like a fresh fit. Again, Sam's what, 23? So he's not too far removed from that kind of, you know, that kind of coaching. I don't know. It'd be interesting.
I get that. I get it. I just,
Hey, the Giants went with Joe Judge, who had no coaching experience except for special teams and wide receivers. I mean, he wasn't an OC. He wasn't a DC. He was never a head coach. And sometimes you just kind of need that. And you need that fresh look that just, hey, we're going to try something new and see if it works. Now, obviously it doesn't always work, but I think in this case, at least in the Joe Judge case, it seems to be working.
But you're talking about taking an NFL guy and moving him to a higher position in the NFL. I mean, I think you're proving my point. Like I'm just fearful that this next hire is a make or break situation. He has to get it right. Exactly.
He has to get it right. He has to.
You cannot get it wrong, because if you get it wrong, you're going to be changing coaches again in 2 years, and you're going to be changing GMs again in 2 years. And as a fan base, as an organization, you cannot be doing this every 4 or 5 years.
Right.
You can't be doing it. You look around the league, and the teams that are successful every single year are the teams that have continuity and consistency across the board. New England, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. You're starting to see it in Buffalo, Kansas City. You know, these are the teams that they're there, right? Seattle. They don't change coaches. They don't change GMs. They buy into the philosophy. They buy into the vision. And then they tell the coach to go out there and execute. That's what we need. We need that kind of mentality. And if he gets it wrong here, you're going to set the franchise back even more than it already is. You have 9 draft picks this year. You have 9 draft picks next year. You have the number 2 overall pick this year. It's all right there for you. You cannot screw this up, which is why it's very important to just pick the right guy, take your time. You know, last year or 2 years ago when they fired Todd Bowles, they hired Adam Gase in like 6 days, 7 days. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. If they hire a coach within 7 days now, which Joe Douglas said today that they are not looking into rushing it. They're looking into who's the right guy versus where the calendar is, which again, I like the answer. I believe it. I believe in the process that he's trying to take, but you got to get the process right.
Yeah. And as flashy as Devonta Smith looks, and obviously we all saw him on Saturday night, can you really take a wide receiver at number 2? I mean, the Giants got murdered for taking Barkley by some people. And he's a generational running back. I mean, can you really take a wide receiver number 2?
Okay, who was the last wide receiver to win the Heisman Trophy?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
All right, Desmond Howard.
Okay.
Okay, how do you think that worked out?
Pretty well.
Okay. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that he's Desmond Howard.
Right.
But the Jets picked Keyshawn at number 1 in 1997.
It's rare though, right? And that worked out.
It's rare, but if you put him, Crowder, Mims, and you go out and you get another veteran, maybe you sign Perriman again. I mean, your wide receivers are much better than what they were this year.
Yep, but that's all predicated on Sam being the guy. 100% predicated, because if you don't take another quarterback here, you're locked into Sam, and chances are you're gonna have to pay him whatever he's owed next year after his fifth year option.
Or you're looking at you release Sam and then you make a trade. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo Jimmy Garoppolo is on the market. I firmly believe that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to New England. That's what I think.
Listen, Washington needs a quarterback. You can trade him to Washington. Not that you need Alex Smith, but I mean, they have some, I'm sure they have some nice pieces you might be interested in, but obviously you need a quarterback.
I'll take Chase Young.
Yeah, that's not happening. Well, that's not going to happen. Good luck with that one.
I mean, listen, as a Jets fan, I mean, I would even take Matthew Stafford.
Would you though?
I think I would. But Matthew Stafford is in a system that is, I mean, I pray that he gets out of Detroit, because he's so much better than what the talent is around him. Now the Jets have no talent either, but if they build into the draft and they can work it, you have a guy with experience. You have a guy that is still relatively young. I mean, he's been in the league for a long time, but he's still in his early 30s. I'm a believer in Sam. He played he played better the last month.
Yes.
He's 32. Yes. Okay. Well, Tom Brady's 43 and he just was third in the league in passing and 40 something touchdowns. So
listen, that's the exception. That's not the rule. I mean, Matt Ryan, 35 years. He feels like he's been in the league forever. Aaron Rodgers, 37. Drew Brees is 41. Cousins is
Aaron Rodgers, but don't even put Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers.
I'm just saying
he's going to be the MVP this year,
as he should, as he absolutely should. I'm just saying the. But you're only gonna have if you got Matthew Stafford, you'd have him for maybe 2 years, and then you have to quarterback search all over again. I don't know. I feel like that's a Band-Aid.
No,
it's kind of a Band-Aid.
You're probably right. Like I want the team to be good. I'm tired of them losing.
I know. Theoretically, because this game hasn't happened yet, it happens this weekend. If Justin Fields goes out and beats the shit out of Alabama like he did Clemson, would that change your mind? Would that change Jacksonville's mind?
Well, if he does, here's the thing:
once is a fluke, twice is a trend.
Well, I think it's more apt to change Jacksonville's mind. Jacksonville would be stupid. And by the way, they're a stupid organization to pass up on Trevor Lawrence. But what if the stars align and Jacksonville hires Urban Meyer and Urban Meyer says, I want Justin Field. Now, right. Urban Meyer has a relationship with him.
I'm saying if Justin Fields goes out and beats the crap out of Alabama like he did Clemson, that may not be out of the realm of possibility. You'd have to sit there and think about it a little harder if you're Jacksonville.
Yeah. I mean,
let's say that happens and they still take Trevor Lawrence. Would you be pissed if they passed up on him and let him fall to, the Dolphins are three, but looking for a quarterback, but it's an interesting thing.
I'll tell you what.
And you saw what he did on Saturday.
I 100%. If I was Miami, I would look very hard. They have the number three pick.
I know.
I would look very hard at getting a quarterback. And this is, and I was not impressed with Tua at all this year.
I don't think anybody was.
Not at all. And I firmly think they got smoked on Sunday. What was the score? 56-16 or 20 or something like that?
And I think Buffalo played their second string in the second half there.
It wasn't even close. By the way, that just shows you how good Buffalo is.
Yeah.
But Miami needed to win to get in. They didn't have Fitz. And Tua's just not ready. And I don't know if he is. Miami's probably never going to get a number three draft pick again. And the only reason why they have a number three draft pick is because they traded with Houston.
Right.
If they're not sold on Tua, now is the time. Now's the time. You trade with the Jets, you move to two. You get Justin Fields, the Jets get number three, and then another one of their number one picks that Miami has.
But would you want the Jets to gift wrap Justin Fields to your division rival, who you're obviously looking up at in the division behind Buffalo? I don't know. That's tough. That'd be like saying, hey, we're going to trade with Dallas. We're going to let them get a quarterback and we're just going to watch as he maybe becomes a star. I don't know. That wouldn't sit well.
By the way, do that because then the Jets can take Dak.
I'm saying hypothetically, you know what I'm saying? If the Giants and Cowboys were in the Miami Dolphins and Jets situation, like, hey, by the way, let's trade. You can have the number two pick. We'll gift wrap you the quarterback you actually want, who might be good. Who knows? And he's in your division for the next 15 years. That's a tough pill to swallow. I don't know. That's a tough one.
I don't know, man. It's like when the Jets pass on Dan Marino and they got Ken O'Brien. I don't know.
It's almost like the Jets have to play defense in a sense because Miami's picking right behind them.
Correct. Yeah, I mean that makes sense because if the Jets pick, let's say they pick Fields, right? Yeah. Trevor Lawrence goes one. Jets pick Fields. You know Smith is going to go to Miami.
Who's throwing the ball?
Well, I guess Tua is. Tua played with it. Tua played with him last year.
So here, someone mentioned, I say someone, one of these announcers mentioned how, you know, Tua was so great in college and he had all these gazelles. And that just proves my point that these quarterbacks that come from these big schools with these, all this success, and maybe Trevor Lawrence falls into this too. The game is so easy for them because they have all these five-star recruits. They're playing against guys who are playing football for 3, maybe 4 years, and they're never going to see a field again. It's just, I don't know. They have it so easy. And then they come to the NFL and look at Tua. You get a shot in the arm of reality. I'm never going to be convinced that I don't know. This is why I can't get into the college game. This is give me pros all the time. I know you, me and Jake and Justin, we have this debate all the time, but it's, I don't know. I'm not a college person.
The game, I love college football, but
it's just, you know, give me the guy who played 4 years and isn't just a one. Again, Dwayne Haskins, everyone was killing the Giants, killing them for not picking Dwayne Haskins and taking Jalen Jones instead. Dwayne Haskins is looking for a job right now.
Yeah,
it's just, he played in Ohio State, was setting all these records in Ohio State, won the Heisman, and now he's looking for a job.
Well, I think that there's more than that. I mean, I think that we talked about it last week. I mean, I just think that he's a bad guy anyway, but nevertheless, we're sidetracked. Like, the Jets have big decisions to make.
Yeah.
They need to get it right. There's no mulligan here.
You've had 50 years of mulligans.
Well, besides that, you've now entrusted this general manager to make the right decision. Joe Douglas needs to make the right decision. It's that simple. Adam Gase was not the right decision. He wasn't the right decision when he was hired. Anybody could have told you that he wasn't the right decision when he was hired 2 years ago. And now you are 100%, but now you are fixing that problem.
Yeah,
and not go through this another 2 years and then have to fix the problem again, because the fixing the problem in 2 years is fixing the coach and the GM again.
Right.
So to Joe Douglas, let's get it right. I do have faith in him. I really do. I listen to him when he's on his press conferences. He seems to have the right attitude and the right mentality of what he's looking for. It's a process. It needs to happen. It needs to happen somewhat quickly, but it needs to happen right.
Yeah. Did you even happen to watch any of the Week 17 game?
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Well, I watched all of it because I love getting kicked in the balls, Phil. Because, I mean, you know, I say this all the time. Like, I said last week in the podcast that I probably wasn't going to watch it because the Giants game was way more intriguing, and the Giants game was way more intriguing. We'll get to that in a minute. Jets were up 14-7. I said to myself, holy shit. I mean, is it possible? And then, you know, that was
out the window, out the window.
And it goes back to the same. And this is another reason why the coach gets fired, is they play well the first half, and the second half they come out, they make no adjustments. They make, you know, no game and no strategies have changed. And they come out and New England plays better, and they end up winning 28-14. By the way, New England is an awful football team. They're not good. Cam Newton can't throw the football anymore. Did you see some of the throws that he was making? I don't know if you watched any of this.
I honestly didn't see a snap of it. That's not true. When it was halftime of the Giants game, I did flip over because I was 100% locked into the Giants-Cowboys game.
Cam Newton cannot throw the football anymore. I don't know what it is, but it almost looks like he's not throwing with his shoulder. It looks like he's throwing with his elbow, like a little leaguer when he throws from second to first. He just – like just does this,
like flicks it. Yeah.
Yeah. It just flicks it. Like, there was a bunch of passes where he had no pass rush, and he had a guy open in the slot cutting the field, and he threw it into the ground. Like, I don't know where.
Well, they have a ton of decisions to make too.
Oh, they have a ton of decisions to make. A ton.
But that's why they only.
I don't know.
Rented Cam for 1 year. They rented him for 1 year, $1 million. All right,
that's it. And honestly, it's a steal. They went 7-9. Whatever, no big deal.
Yeah.
And they get a good draft pick now, which they haven't had in the last 20 years.
And you're convinced they're going to have Jimmy G next year anyway. So.
and I'm convinced that they're going to make a trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of GMs, I think I saw before earlier on tonight that Gettleman's coming back. And again, I said it last week. I don't even really see the problem with everyone dumping on him again, because last year before the 2020 season, Mara and Tish said, this is Gettleman's, you know, he's got to up his batting average. Right. So if you're going to take it from August, September of 2020 to now, all the moves he's made, throw out the last 2 years because they were crap. If we're going to do that, I would say his batting average is above average, right? You got Blake Martinez, you got Bradbury, you drafted pretty well this year, beefing up the O-line. He made a lot more hits than he did misses in 2020. Would you agree?
Yeah. No, I don't think he's done a poor job.
Right. So I don't understand. And again, you lost Barkley, your franchise player. Everything obviously got off to a really bad start. It progressed very nicely. Whether or not you agree an NFC East member should be in the playoffs, but that's the rules. They had a chance in week 17 to make the playoffs. They did what they had to do. We'll get to the rest of that in a few minutes, but they did what they needed to do. 6-10 is not great, but to be honest with you, they doubled their win total from last year. All right, we're moving in the right direction. So all that talk about Gettleman's not going to come back, he shouldn't come back, stop. All right, those are just the haters that just want to pile on it, and I don't see it. So I'm glad he's coming back because I think he did a really good job this year, and he's getting the team in the right direction. I love the Joe Judge hire. Did you see his little press conference today?
Love it.
About the integrity. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. This guy, he gets it. This guy gets it.
I totally agree. And, you know, now that the season's over, we can kind of look back and we can say, you know, what went right, what went wrong. If Saquon did not get hurt,
and if I think catch the goddamn ball,
this team could have 9-10 wins.
Yeah.
I really believe that. I mean, their defense played that well this year. If Daniel Jones can play consistently and not turn the football over, Saquon was there all year. They have a healthy wide receiving core. Evan Ingram can catch the ball. I mean, again, this is a lot of ifs, yeah, right?
But they're not too far away yet. So,
but you can see the potential of the team versus what the Jets are, and you have no idea what it is, right? It's still the building process. The Giants need to move on from Golden Tate. They need one more solid wide receiver.
They need a wide receiver. They need a number one wide receiver. I like Slayton. Yeah. I like Shepard, but they're great number twos. They're not number ones. They're not.
100%. I totally agree with you. They need that threat.
And I don't even know who's out there. Do you get a Galladay? Do you get someone like that? I mean, I know he's hurt. I'm just kind of using
him. How about Allen Robinson?
That's true. I heard his name be floating around too. He might be a little expensive, but.
Well, you know what?
I would take Allen Robinson in a heartbeat.
If it buys you win, I mean,
I joke. The defense. Said I want,
you're gonna have to pay Leonard Williams. Well, Leonard Williams had 10.5 sacks this year.
He had a great season.
What an absolute stud! I mean,
you guys were killing back, 2 years ago. You guys were killing again, that trade.
looking back on it, you know, he really proved himself in the right system what he can do, and. I think you're one piece away on defense. You're a couple pieces away on
pass rusher. You need a pass rusher. 100%.
Another one. I mean, when the Giants were really good, when they were winning the Super Bowls, I mean, they had solid, both sides of the defensive line. They were rushing to quarterback. You had Osu Mignore, you had Michael Strahan, and then you had Tuck, and then you had, JPP. I mean,
yeah.
You had the pieces there where they can get to the quarterback. Continue to build on that. Get Saquon back. Continue to build the offensive line and get a wide receiver. And I'm telling you, this team can be a 10 or 11 win team.
I think that's
happening.
I kept thinking the last 3 weeks when I saw Gallman hitting those holes and running for 10 yards, 11 yards. I'm like, if that was Barkley, I mean, those might be 15, 20 yarders. And there was a game, I forget if it was the Arizona game or the game before that, maybe the one against Baltimore, that Alfred Morris got stuffed at the 2-yard line. And the announcer sits there and goes, if that was Barkley with those tree trunks, he would have just ran the guy over and scored a touchdown. Like, if those holes are being open for Gallman and Alfred Morris, I hope those holes continue to get bigger for Barkley because he'll take advantage of it.
Now, Barkley, again, it's hard to predict because you're coming off of a major injury and a major surgery. But next year is a big year for Barkley.
Of course.
Because absolutely. It's his third year or fourth year? Third year, right? So
third year, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean you're is it third or fourth?
Well, he was drafted the same year as Sam.
So it'll be his fourth year.
Yeah, his fourth year. Yes, correct.
Okay. So
I mean this year's a wash, that's why I'm forgetting about it.
Oh, right. So next year will be a big year. I mean, they're gonna have to figure out what they're gonna do with him. I mean, they'll obviously pick up his option for the fourth year.
Fifth year.
It'll be his fourth year next year, dude.
No, but they'll probably pick up his fifth year option.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or they'll just extend him. I mean, you could extend him next year too, technically.
Yeah, but they're gonna want to see what he has before they do that. Yeah, I mean, he's coming off a major knee injury.
And I hope he knows that. I feel like he's the kind of guy. He's not gonna be selfish. Like, give me my money, like a Zeke. He's not gonna be selfish. He's gonna be like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll prove myself. And then when you bet on yourself, you usually get paid.
Zeke was a non-factor in this week's game.
He was a non-factor all year. What you saw, I know you don't still watch a lot of Dallas, neither do I, because they're not in our market, but Zeke's been doing that all year. Tony Pollard, it's almost like a 60-40 split now. It's incredible. Pollard's playing like 2 and 3 series in a row. Zeke took the first couple of carries, and then he's like, all right, I want out. Now, if that has something to do with his calf, maybe, but I don't know, man. I don't know. You gave this guy so much money. And now you got to pay Dak next year. You have to.
Yeah, you have to franchise him.
And he's coming off a major injury. But you have to pay him $20-something million coming off a shattered ankle. But
no, I think it's $30 million. I think it's like closer to 30.
Yeah, 28, 20, whatever it is. I mean, you have to pay Dak now. They have no money to do anything, which is great. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. I this isn't really the fan in me saying this. This is, I think, true. Washington obviously won the division. They're going to have a first-place schedule. They have no quarterback, by the way. Philly is a giant disaster, and Dallas is going to be in cap hell. The Giants should win this division. I mean, they really should. If everything starts going the way it's going and the pieces are fitting and everything's getting better – this should be the Giants division to win. Like you said, at 10, 11 wins, something respectable other than 6-10.
Do you think Gallman fumbled the ball?
Well, no, he did fumble the ball, but.
No, what I mean is, did he lose the ball?
Well, according to the shot they saw on TV when he had the ball in his hands, I mean, he had the ball, right? You saw that shot, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I couldn't believe what I was seeing because
me too.
I mean, they intercept the ball in the end zone. I text you and I say, congratulations, game's over. Congratulations. All he has to do is get out of that area and just fall to the ground. The game is over.
I remember a few weeks ago, more like a few months ago. Remember when Nick Chubb had a clear touchdown and he ran out the 1 yard line and everyone's going nuts? He's like, you should have scored the touchdown. No, he did the right thing. That was the right football play. I wonder if Gallman was surprised he got the first down, to be quite honest with you, because he hit the hole and then it's like he tried to make a move and just fumbled the ball. He fumbled the ball with no. You're right. He should have just fell over. You're right.
He should have just fell over because. The reality is that there was nobody within 15 yards of him. I mean, he could have kept running, but he should have just fallen, and he just lost the ball.
I don't know this, but I wonder if that went through his head. He's like, oh, maybe I should go down. Oh, wait, look, there's green grass. Maybe I should score. Like, I wonder if he was in some sort of transition in his head, like, what do I do? And obviously he ended up fumbling the ball, and my God. I couldn't live with it if that got – I mean, they called it down. They called him, had the ball on the ground by the referees. So you would have had to have conclusive evidence that he did not have it. And obviously the shot of him basically hugging the ball looked pretty clear to me. But
right. Okay.
That would have just been apropos of that. Yeah, he did fumble, but I think he had the – I don't think there was any doubt that they showed a picture of him having the ball. Without that, you can have a huge discussion. The play that everyone's really talking about is why Mike McCarthy, which again, I didn't want from the beginning. Thank God the Giants did not hire him because I don't like him. Why does he not challenge the Dante Pettis catch that led to the 47-yard field goal that the Giants hit?
It wasn't a catch. He dropped it.
Well, he didn't drop it, but he used the ground to cradle it, as Mike Pereira said. He didn't actually drop it. He caught the ball, and then he used the ground to cradle it, which I guess you're not supposed to do.
No.
But to thank God for us. But he's I'm so glad the Giants didn't hire him. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not a Mike McCarthy guy.
In the scope of all of this, Phil, it was all for naught. Go ahead.
I know where we're going. I just want to say before we get to that, when the Giants won, it's not even like I could celebrate because I knew we were only halfway there, and I knew it was an uphill battle. So yeah, was I happy they won? Yes. Was I happy they beat Dallas? 1,000%. I can't fuck Dallas. I can't stand them. But I knew in my head, I'm like, this is still a very big uphill battle. So I really couldn't even celebrate the win. So go ahead. Yes, let's go into this.
It was all for naught.
It was all for naught. And let me get into this. I'll make my statement after because it kind of ties in.
So I'm sitting there and I'm watching the Sunday night game, and I said to Lori, Lori's like, "Why are you watching this? Like it's." And I said, "Well, I mean, the Giants won today. So if the Giants won, so we need Philadelphia to win in order for the Giants to
make the playoffs.
And at this point, as a New Yorker, or at least I call myself a New Yorker, I want the Giants to make it so I can root for the Giants. I want to root for a New York team. Right. And what I saw on Sunday night was an absolute embarrassment to football. An absolute embarrassment. You have a team out there who is clearly not that good in Washington. Okay. Poor Alex Smith can't push off. He can't throw the football. But they are out there and they are trying their hardest to win a football game. They are not moving the ball. The only reason why they are in this game for three quarters is their defense.
Correct.
It's the only reason why they are in this football game. Jalen Hurts, I do not understand. And the only thing that I could think of is that this coach was openly tanking on national television, and he can come out and he can say whatever he wants and you know, whatever, because you have players coming out today saying we were ready to charge him. They were furious. There were two defensive players who were unnamed who said somebody had to hold us back because we were ready to fight him on the sideline.
I wish they did. That would have been great.
When you are down by 3 points and you openly say, okay, it is time to lose. We do not want to win this football game. That is a problem to me. And I have no fandom in this. I could care less about the teams. I don't root for either one of them. I'm a football fan. And the simple reality is that you saw on live television on Sunday night for the whole world to see a team openly tried for three quarters and then completely shit the bed and not want to play in the fourth quarter. I looked at Lori. I said, I cannot believe what I'm seeing here. But she doesn't have a clue what's going on. She doesn't understand. So she's asking me. And I tell her, they just took the quarterback out in a three-point game.
They're supposed franchise quarterback.
Right. They're now franchise quarterback. Okay. You can't tell me that you're trying to give this quarterback, who I don't even remember his name, a solid look in the fourth quarter of week 17 in a game that actually matters to the outcome of the NFL.
It mattered to about four teams. It mattered to the Eagles. It mattered to the Giants. It mattered to Washington. And it mattered to Tampa Bay, to be quite honest with you.
I don't understand the mentality and the philosophy. And the only thing that I could think of is that the Eagles hate the Giants and they said, fuck you to the Giants. And this is how we're going to do it. So, we're not going to play our quarterback. I don't understand why you don't play Jalen Hurts in a 3-point game in the fourth quarter. I just don't understand.
Because Doug Peterson thinks that he's the smartest guy in the room. He thinks that he has the ideas that no one else has ever thought of in his life, and he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. Now, let me preface this by saying, as I'm watching this, I'm like, I'm more stunned than anything. And they showed all the Giants fans tweeting what's going on. And, you know, part of
the Giants players were tweeting that too. Like, what's going on?
No, that's what I'm saying. And part of me's like, I don't want the Giants in the playoffs at 6-10. I don't. And the Eagles don't owe the Giants anything, right? Because if they're like, hey, screw you, Giants, they're like, all right, but we're going to let Washington win the game. I don't know. I think Doug Peterson's in it for himself and could care less about what anybody thinks.
See, now this is where I disagree with you, because I think that's a shitty philosophy to have. If you win the division, you're in the playoffs.
But let Washington do it, though.
Yeah, okay, but that's fine. But as a Giants fan, which you are, you look at the whole picture, right? You could have and should have beaten Tampa Bay the first time. You had the game plan to beat Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you are relying on another team to win in order for you to get in. Now,
which in hindsight, that shouldn't even be the case, though, right? You know,
right. I agree. And some of the Giants players said, listen, we didn't do a good enough job. We should, and they 16 didn't. Games. We should have won a couple more games. And I agree with that.
One more game.
I agree with that mentality too. But the reality is, Phil, is that you saw a coach throw the game.
Oh, no, I was very disappointed in that. Yes, playoffs are playoffs, and I absolutely wanted to play the Bucs. I didn't know what to think. I really, when they didn't go for the touchdown, I'm sorry, when they didn't go for the field goal to tie it up at 17-all and go for the touchdown, I'm like, all right, I've seen this before. I know he kind of goes for it, and that's fine. You're a team, you have four wins. What the hell do you care if you lose the game? You might as well go for the win, right? So I didn't care about that at all.
But you're missing. No. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're missing it. The play call that he called on that play, Phil, was awful.
Well, the guy was wide open. Jalen Hurts just missed him. If you saw the replay, the guy was open in the back of the end zone. Jalen Hurts just missed him.
That was a scramble last second option. The play call itself was an awful play call. You can't tell me that at that point in the game, Washington is not moving the ball. Philadelphia has something going because they're driving. They're moving the football down the field. You kick the field goal there. You get the points. You're now tied.
Oh, I agree.
You have momentum. What you've essentially done there is he didn't get the fourth down conversion. And then the next series, you take him out of the game. Yes. The game is over at that point. I just don't understand why you – not only did you let your fan base down, you let your players down. Your players practice and they work hard and they want to win the football game. You openly said to your players, we're not winning tonight. And this is the he comes out and says, oh, well, it's not about the draft pick. He's full of shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally about the draft pick. And it's about the draft pick and it's about sticking it to the Giants. There's but the nothing problem that is, you can tell me that it's move, not that case.
They move three spots. It's not like they move from 9-1. They move from 9-6.
9-6 is a big deal, dude. It's a big deal. And you know it. In the NFL draft, 9-6 can be a revolutionary generational player. It can be. It can be. Right. I just don't get it. And for Roger Goodell to come out and watch this football game, I mean, somebody in the NFL has got something to say. If it was the flip, if the Cowboys had won against the Giants and the Cowboys needed the Eagles to win, and he did that, do you not think Jerry Jones would be on the phone ripping the shit out of the Eagles and killing Goodell and saying, no, there's nothing you could do about it?
Nope.
But there has to be something. There has to be something, you know, for the whole year, we said Jacksonville and the Jets are trying to tank the whole year.
It's different.
They played each game for the last quarter of the last game of the entire year for the whole world to see. You saw a team not try.
Yep. No, Nate Sudfeld's his name. If he started Nate Sudfeld last on Sunday, No
different,
problem.
Different story.
Completely different story. Story. Even if you put 100%. Him in at the half, even if you put him in at the half, different, completely different story. No one would say a word. It's where you put him in the game where you had a chance to tie and you're like, yeah, we have no, like you just gift wrapped. You gift wrapped the playoffs too. So I heard a bunch of Washington fans call in various, because I was very interested in a lot of people's opinions on Monday. So I listened to a lot of sports talk radio. There was Washington fans that called in and that was like, I don't even want to celebrate. Like I felt like we cheated to get in. Like, this doesn't even feel like we won anything. Like the Washington fan is like, yeah, we got in, but I mean, we know why we got in because someone stopped playing and let us win.
Yep.
That's terrible.
I totally agree. And you know,
like you took all the fun. You took all the fun out of this, out of winning division, week 17. You took all the fun for all these teams. You just completely took by one move. It's incredible.
So, 100%. And yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, and I'm retracing the fourth quarter of this football game, Philadelphia jumped off sides in order for Washington to get a first down.
You knew that was coming too. The announcer said it. I listened. So when Nate Suffolk came in, I don't do a lot of Twitter, but I follow a bunch of guys. I was scrolling as much as I could, trying to refresh as fast as I wanted to see people's comments. And I think it was FanDuel or some one of those places said, watch them jump off sides on this play. And sure than shit, the fucking guy jumps off sides. Like, you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. Incredible.
But but this goes back to the whole my whole theory of tanking. Like, you know what's coming. You know not to move. You know it's a hard count. You know you have a quarterback that cannot sneak the ball because of his leg.
He still jumped.
And you jumped and you gave them a first down and you basically won them the football game at that play. I'm sorry.
And you know what's funny? Before that play even happened, I think there was two fumble opportunities that Washington recovered that could have changed that game. If Philadelphia recovered one of those two fumbles, they might have scored. And now we might be talking about the Giants in the playoffs, but the defense was doing everything they could to win that game for them.
Yep, I agree. I just it's very sad to watch a football game end the way that it did.
Yeah. For all the shit that happened in 2020, for all the COVID bullshit, for all the postponement of games, for all the garbage that these players play, and we'll never know because we're not in these locker rooms, like for all the nonsense that they had to go through, to have the season end on that sour note, Roger Goodell cannot be happy. Can't be happy. I mean, but you can't do anything about it. What are you going to do about it? Maybe never put the Eagles on national TV again? That'll be a punishment.
Well,
how does this guy
still You knew that they were trying to lose, Phil.
How does he still have a job?
I don't know. But they were trying to lose because they didn't even dress Carson Wentz. So
No. I get that. I'm saying.
And they didn't even dress Sanders. They didn't have a running back. They played Boston Scott. Listen, Boston Scott is a decent player, but I mean, you're openly before the game even starts. You're openly saying, we're playing, but we're kind of not trying to win. And then when you take Jalen Hurts out, you're physically, you're everything. You're mentally, you're physically, everything.
Yep.
Strategically, you're saying we are not winning tonight. We are not trying to win anymore. The first play that this kid was in, he fumbled the ball.
I know it was terrible. So he wanted to sit there and get a look at Nate Sudfeld. Well, you got a good look at him. He sucks.
Why do you need Phil? Why do you need to get a look at a sixth round draft pick who's been in the league for 4 years?
That was
guess what? The look is he's not good. Look is he's not good, and he shouldn't be playing.
No wonder Carson Wentz wants out of there. I can't imagine how none of these players want to play for him next year.
I'll take Carson Wentz as a Jets fan. I'll take him in a second.
Of course. I'm just like the Jason Kelce's. I mean, all the players that were healthy scratches, how can they be like, yeah, we'll play for this guy next year? You can't trust them.
Listen, I will trade the second of the first round draft picks for Carson Wentz, and I will draft a wide receiver at number two, and I will get rid of Sam, and I'll take Carson Wentz. Because you know what? I still think Carson Wentz has good football in him. I really do. I think he's just it was a bad year.
Well, you know what? Now it makes you question, was it a bad year for him or was it the play call? Was he set up to fail? Now all this stuff comes into question, right? It's possible. How much of this year was the same thing? We just didn't see it on national TV for the world to see.
Listen, I think I said this earlier, but I'm going to retrace it. This Eagles game is the only reason why I said to Phil, let's do the podcast tonight, because I was so mad. Like we said last week that we weren't going to do a podcast if the Giants lost. I texted Phil on Monday morning and I said, we need to do a podcast because I don't know if you want to vent, but I want to vent because as an NFL fan, I felt robbed of what Sunday night could have been.
Oh, we were robbed. Yeah. Obviously I had more skin in the game than you did.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But as a New York fan, I wanted the Eagles to win so the Giants could get in.
Yeah. No.
They didn't even give us that opportunity.
Of course. No, it was literally stolen because if Jalen Hurts is in that game, they're winning the game. They're going to win that game. I know it. I felt it. They were going to win that game. First of all, it would have been tied. So it's not like you have to march a team down the field for a field goal. You need 50 yards when you get the ball back, give or take. And you're kicking a field goal for the win.
Yep.
Yeah. Part of me is, of course, I'm pissed about it. But the other part of me is like, the Giants should have won more games. If Evan Engram can catch the fucking ball, we wouldn't be in this predicament. Evan Engram, so the Giants had 12 interceptions between Daniel Jones and Colt McCoy this year. 12. Six of them went through Evan Engram's hands. So half the interceptions that the New York Giants threw, half of them went through Evan Engram's hands. That should have been caught. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. And I like Evan Engram. That's a huge problem.
Well, they need to figure that out, and he needs to figure it out very quickly.
How is he a Pro Bowl selection this year? Please explain that to me. Were they just needed extra spots?
Well, there's no actual game. So, I mean, it's really just
– That's true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, who cares? But, I mean – oh, man, I think I've said this so many times over the years. God, how many games is he must have cost us at least 3 games. At least, I'm saying. So that puts you at 9-7, and you run away with a division.
Yep.
Oh,
I hear you.
I'm actually more pissed about that than I am not getting in week 17 because the opportunities were there all season, and they should have been there. I'm actually more pissed at that than I am what happened on Sunday night, because I'm fine with the players being all pissed off because they're the ones that are out there and they're the ones that are fighting and playing. So they have a right to say whatever the hell they want, because that's fine. I wish they just one more win would have just sealed this. And we wouldn't even be in this mess. Play better. Do take care of your business next year. And hopefully this will never happen again.
Well, let's hope that the Giants kind of learn from this year and they can make the transition into next year. But to recap before we move into, you know, what we think the playoffs are going to be, I think I think it's an embarrassment for the NFL.
I completely agree.
Anyway, let's move on to the playoffs real quick before we say goodbye for the year, and then we come back around draft time. Yeah, we have some solid games on the docket for this weekend. They're calling it Super Wild Card Weekend. 3 games Saturday and Sunday. I mean, it's amazing. Bull Ray's going to be pissed at me because I'm just going to be locked in from 1 o'clock till midnight every single day.
Is this 7-team thing happening? Is this only for this year, or is this going forward?
No, I think this is going forward.
All right. I like it. I mean, it gave a lot more teams something to play for in week 17. There must have been 6 games that had playoff implications on Sunday in week 17.
Is it for this year? I don't know if it's just for this year.
I think it is. So I think this year was the extra playoff team. Next year was potentially, which may or may not happen now, but potentially the adding an extra game. To go to week
18. I don't see before we get into the games, I don't see why the NFL doesn't adopt this. I mean, it was it was really good football this weekend for the teams that needed to get in for that seventh pick. I mean, for me, it brings an urgency for week 17 where other teams are like, well, whatever, I'm not in and I'm not, you know, like there were teams that were legitimately playing for this week.
Right. And it also makes it that much more important for the one seed because they're the only one who gets a bye. Right. So in years past, we saw teams resting players in week 16 and 17 because they may have had a bye already locked up. In this case, it's a little hard to get that bye. So
right.
I like it. I like it. Hopefully it's this way going forward. I think I like it.
And we could be wrong. I mean, this could have already been implemented and we just were being idiots, but I don't know, but
so much stuff went on this year. I forget what's,
yeah,
what I don't started and what didn't.
I'm just trying to remember if I brought my mask out to go to the grocery store. So in the AFC this week, you got, Indianapolis has got to play Buffalo.
Buffalo's going to beat the crap out of them.
You got Baltimore playing Tennessee, and you got Cleveland playing Pittsburgh. I mean,
without a coach,
it kills me because you know what? I firmly believe that the Browns are the better team than the Steelers. The Steelers have not proved anything to me over the last month and a half that they are a quality football team. And I think that the Browns, if they get their wide receivers back and they get their running game going, I firmly believe that they are one of the better teams in the NFL. And in our picks later that we're going to do with Dan, I was going to pick the Browns, but I retracted on that because Stefanski's not going to coach. And that's a huge factor because he's the one who calls the plays.
Coaching matters. Coaching matters.
I think in the AFC, I know we're not going to do this anymore for the rest of the week. So to me, it's Buffalo or Kansas City. I mean, Buffalo has proved the last few weeks that they are a threat. Mm-hmm. They really are. And I really think that they are the only team that can compete with Kansas City.
I think we're in lockstep that we think Buffalo, Kansas City is going to be the AFC championship game.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Buffalo's offense is clicking. They're a top five scoring defense at the moment. I mean, I got to think that it's, yeah. Listen, I pick Kansas City to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to stick with that pick, but I think that the AFC Championship game is going to be Buffalo, Kansas City, and I think it's going to be one hell of a football game.
I hope it is. That'd be good. And then we'll jump over to the NFC. NFC Championship game: Green Bay versus.
Well, I don't know. I mean, let's go through the weekend games real quick. And so, I mean, you got. The Bears got to play New Orleans.
Bears are going to get smoked.
Right?
Bears are going to get smoked.
Washington's got to play Tampa Bay.
Tampa's going to beat the shit out of them.
And then Seattle's got to play the Rams, right?
How good their defense is. Tom Brady's going to carve them up.
And Seattle's got to play the Rams, right?
Right.
Now, I don't know who's playing. Is Jared Goff playing this weekend? I don't know.
I haven't heard. I actually don't know.
I haven't heard either. I mean, I think the NFC Championship game is I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna say something crazy. I'm gonna say it's Tampa Bay and Green Bay.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. Green Bay versus who? Because
I think it's Green. And could you imagine if Tom Brady makes the Super Bowl this year? Could you imagine? Tampa's defense is not good defensively against the pass.
Right. Correct.
And Aaron Rodgers, I think he's proven that he's carving up teams. I mean, Tennessee is a good defense and he made Tennessee look foolish last week.
Yep.
So,
And if there's any upsets in the first round, I mean, Green Bay is obviously the beneficiary because they play the lowest remaining seed. So any right. hiccup by one of these top teams, I mean, you're almost handing Green Bay an NFC championship game right there.
I'm going to pick for the Super Bowl. I'm going to pick Green Bay and Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I know that that's kind of chalk because it's 1-1, but I really think that they're the best teams. I mean, unless Buffalo can somehow do it, I mean, they put up 56 points against a Miami team that had a top eight defense. They scored 56 points.
If it's Kansas City and Green Bay, that'd be awesome. I mean, the over-under is going to be like 62.5. Because Green Bay's defense is not that great either. So you can score on Green Bay's defense.
Yeah.
Especially Mahomes. So I think that'd be, from a viewing standpoint, I think that'd be the most entertaining game. I really do. I think you want to see Tom Brady get knocked out in the NFC Championship game just because he'll be right there, and then it'll get taken away from him. That's what I think you want.
Here's something funny. I would love to see Tom Brady make the Super Bowl, and here's the reason why. Just to stick it to Bill Belichick. Just to say, suck on this asshole. You know? You thought you needed me, and I did not need you.
Well, see, the problem is Mike Evans is a little hurt. I don't know what
he's doing. But I don't think they're going to need Mike Evans to beat Washington.
No, and, not this game. I'm talking about next round.
That's okay. Well, You get him back for 2 weeks, and you should be okay. I mean, Antonio Brown had 11 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown the other day. I mean, Antonio Brown, who's been absent, all of a sudden decided that he wanted to show up. So
it'll be fun. I think it's going to be pretty chalky, though. I think you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of high seeds making the conference championships here.
Well, we'll see what happens.
That would mean Seattle. That would mean that Tampa Bay realistically has to knock off the Saints in the second round in the conference in the divisional round.
Yes.
You see that happening? Because Michael Thomas is coming back for the playoffs.
I don't know.
So he says.
I don't know.
All right. Well, you're picking up. That's
well. I mean, Tom Brady the last 4 weeks has thrown for over 350 yards and two or three touchdowns a game. So, I mean, it's actually pretty typical of Tom Brady in November to in December to pick it up and play better. So,
right.
We'll see what happens. But
as for us, we're calling it a year because we have no rooting interest in the playoffs this year, much like it's been for the past 5 or 6 years, it feels like. But that's going to do it for 2020. And I'm glad we made it. I'm glad there was no cancellation of a season. I'm glad that, you know, we didn't have any stoppages of the league. Everything seems to be going smoothly as it should. And I'm glad we got here. I know you were pretty skeptical in August, but I'm glad we made it through.
There was a couple times this year where I thought it was going to be.
There was a couple hiccups. There was a couple of hiccups.
Listen, as a Jets fan, I'm happy that we ended the season. Just end the season, right, Phil?
But now it's the fun time of year because now all the speculation and you know changes are happening, and hopefully it's all for the better. It can't get any worse, right?
No, it can't. It can't get any worse.
It can't get any worse. It can't. So, all right, but that'll wrap it up for 2020, and we'll probably jump back around draft time when things are heating up a little bit because there'll be at least something to discuss, and back at it again in August for 2021.
All right. Happy New Year, everybody. Talk to you later, folks.